Yes, ma'am.
Who are the elders?
I haven't a clue. Have you seen them? Eugene is an elder. Vijay. Oh, there you are. I thought he was raptured. Gee. Vijay is an elder. Chris, back there. Put up your hand. No one can see you, Chris. He is an elder. And moi is an elder. So, there they are. They're there for you. So, King's kids, you're dismissed. Family, this is our opportunity now to hear what God, our Father, wants to share with us through the inerrant, authoritative, God-breathed, inspired Word of God. So take out your copy of the Bible, open it up to the book of Acts, take out your message notes. Ushers will be in the aisle momentarily. If you don't have a set of message notes, they'll provide them for you so that you can join us in this looking very carefully at what Abba wants us to understand and go forward in living out in our lives for His glory and for His honor. The main character that we're looking at and that the Holy Spirit seems to be highlighting in our text is Philip. Philip, the fisherman. And he's a tremendous, at least as far as I'm concerned, example. Because he's a regular person. He's not one of these guys that went to seminary and so forth and so on. He's a regular blue-collar, hard-working fellow that was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ to spend some time with him. And he ended up having his life radically, wonderfully changed. And so it is with many of us who have come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the title of this particular section of this book, as we go through it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, is called Enjoying the Fullness of the Holy Spirit in Our Lives. This is what the Holy Spirit wants for us, and this is what I want for all of us as well. I had a marvelous time with him yesterday in preparation, a continuing preparation for this morning. You know, Kath came in from running a bunch of errands, and she heard me reading out loud, and she's, oh, you're reading out loud to yourself. Yeah, I want to hear what he has to say to me. This word of his is so absolutely delicious, if you will. You know, it's called like, it's sweeter than honey. Sweeter than the honeycomb, you know, to ingest the word of God. It's just a marvelous, marvelous thing. Philip was enjoying. Philip was deeply appreciating. Philip, as we look at his life, he had come to love and adore the fullness of God the Holy Spirit in his life. I mean, he starts out as a simple servant. He's just a servant. You know, someone that like comes to your table when you're at Denny's or someplace and asks to take your order. He was taking care of a bunch of Hellenistic Jewish widows. And he was doing that with another guy called Stephen. And Stephen, as we know, as we pass through these scriptures, we found he would be the first martyr of the church. Two absolutely wonderful gentlemen that are like each of you. If they'd been women, they would have been like you, girls. And it's just that they are there, that the Holy Spirit has placed them there for us to look at and find as our example. In Ephesians 3:20, it's not in your notes. You might want to write it down. But Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him, meaning God, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. God the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. He's all-knowing, and he's ever-present. And he's in you, and he's in me. He has made you GP, remember? You have great potential. Not because you are someone so special. You have great potential because God the Holy Spirit lives in you. There is tremendous power and strength in we, remember? It is God and you, the Holy Spirit and you. The power we have will dissipate because we only have our own power in our humanness. I know from going to the gym, and if you're doing curls, you know, you're sitting there and you go, and you know, and eventually, I usually don't get to that point because I'm not going to strain myself. But, you know, you just can't get it up there. Our humanness wears out. Our strength can't do it all. But there's tremendous strength in we with God. Now, Ephesians 3:20, I really like it the way it is written out here in the New Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, but nonetheless, I love the way the writers brought it out because it's exactly what the scripture is saying in the Greek text. He says, now glory be to God. Give him glory, who by his mighty work power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, infinitely beyond our highest desires, infinitely beyond our highest thoughts and or hopes. This is what you have in you by way of God the Holy Spirit having taken up residence in you. On that wonderful night that God got a hold of my heart, on that wonderful night when I saw myself from his perspective, a sinner who needed God's grace, God's favor upon my life. I needed his mercy, just an absolutely horrid individual. And it was then that I see myself from his perspective, and the pastor at the time was sharing, confess your sins. Ron needed to confess. He needed to confess big time and repent. Let your life be changed. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in, to forgive you of your sins, and to help your life become that new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the marvel of God's wonderful grace upon the lives of individuals who see Jesus for who he is, the one true living Son of God. Understanding what Jesus made very clear, he said, I am the way, not Buddha, not anybody else. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, the Messiah, it is through him that we are saved, our sins forgiven. He is our Redeemer. He went to the cross and suffered the death I deserve. He went to the cross and took the punishment I deserve upon himself. He's absolutely terrific, wonderful. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to enjoy the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. So he gives us this great and awesome potential within ourselves. You see there in your notes, the first action step was being kept filled by the Spirit. There's no big trick to this. No big trick. Once we have genuinely been redeemed by Jesus, we've been saved. He gives us God the Holy Spirit, who will never forsake us, who will never leave us. He is with us till the end of eternity. The Spirit of God comes within to live there, and all we have to do is ask him, Lord Jesus, this is for real. I came to you this morning. I'm coming to you again. I want you to do your part in letting Ron be set aside. Use me as a vessel to be able to speak your message to me again and to your people. I want you, please. I want your Holy Spirit to come forth. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I simply want him to be in charge and me the one following. So may it happen that way, Lord Jesus. May it happen that way this morning. Amen. There's no mystery in how to ask God the Holy Spirit in the life of a genuine believer to come forth and be himself and to guide and to bring that strength and that power forward to be a blessing to him and to the people around us. And then we went to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. And we recognized that we are to be putting something on. And it's my hope, and it was my prayer this week, that this didn't fall on deaf ears last week. That it just didn't smack the back of the worship center's walls. And that you really took your Bibles and your message notes, and you looked at here, and you sat down in the morning at some time during the day, but preferably early in the morning, and sat there and you said, Father, I want to put on what you were having our pastor point out to me last Sunday. I want to, as an electos, of one person you chose. I don't understand why you chose me. I really don't. But I'm so glad you did. So very glad you did. But I'm part of the electos. He chose me. And he said that I want you to put on as a beloved son, a beloved daughter of God, compassionate hearts. Put it on. I want you to start layering these things on your heart. I want you to sit down in meditation, in your prayer with the Lord, and you look at his word, you read it out loud, you let him speak to you, because he's saying, put on a compassionate heart. He's saying it with a command. He's telling us, wear this compassionate heart so other people will be blessed. And you will recognize that is a mark of a legitimate, real, living Christian today. And then put on kindness. I can only put forth this kind of kindness that comes from God the Holy Spirit. It is supernatural. And that amount of kindness has no end to it. That you can be kind all day long, all week long, all year long, and you won't have touched the well that is full of his infinite kindness that he wants to bring forth in your life to other people. And at the same time, our Heavenly Father likes it when we're kind to him too, because some of us can be pretty arrogant. I know I have been arrogant and blamed him for something that he didn't do. He did know better, but he still let it come into my life. Not because he doesn't love me, but he let it come into my life that I might learn something. And the fact is, many times he lets things come into my life to learn, and I don't learn them, and he lets it come again. Hopefully, I'll get it this time, because I got a pretty thick head. So we looked at these areas, humility and meekness and patience, coming alongside people that are hurting and extending that hand to help up the hurting, to help these people. And at the same time, you know, some of us come, I'm not going to forgive that person for hurting me. You got to be kidding. You saw what they did. But Ron, I forgave you. Why do you do that? You know? Yeah. You forgave me everything. That's right. Now you need to forgive that person. You're not agreeing with them that what they did was right. What you're saying is, I'm forgiving them just as Jesus has forgiven you. And there's nothing that he didn't forgive you. Nothing. So we layer these things on, and this passage is there for us to be richly filled with these words. He said, let the word of Christ dwell, inhabit you richly, abundantly, excessively. And the only way that's going to happen is you sit down with him and you read the word of God and you read it out loud. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers. And it's the authoritative, inerrant, God-breathed, inspired words of his, and we read them out loud in English. We hear him speaking into our heart, and as we go through the passage, we can ask, what do you want me to do with it? It should be clear in most of the instances. What do you want me to do with it? Because I know you want me to have a compassionate heart. I know you want me to come alongside other people that are hurting. I know that you want me to walk humbly and meekly. That's clear. Do it now. Don't be a hearer of the word and then move on and don't do anything about it. Be a hearer, be a listener, and now do it. Now do it. Well, I can't do it, but I can if I'm enjoying the manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit, in my life. Because these are his attributes. And he'll come forth and help me do those things. I've told you in the past, Kathy has come to me when I'm throwing an attitude. And she'll say, you haven't spent much time with the Lord this morning, did you? And she's right. But I don't like it when you say it, honey. And she doesn't mean to be playing Holy Spirit either. She's holding me accountable. In love, at least she says it's in love, and I believe her. The action step is manifest, live out Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Live it out, family. That's what it's all about. Live out the word of God. I love, and I've shared this before, and I'll drop it off as I'm going to heaven, but I love what Gandhi said. Jesus, I like. Christians, not so much. Why? Because there's far too many who claim to be Christians and they don't act like Jesus. There isn't the compassionate heart. There isn't the meekness. There isn't the humility. There isn't the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. No, we look like the world. We act like the world. And if that's what they're seeing, then they're not seeing the wonderful, loving, warm, radical change that takes place in the life of a genuine believer. So I gave you the observation, this sensitivity to divine guidance by the Holy Spirit was a major factor in Philip's life. He did all these grandiose, wonderful things in the Spirit because he had GP, great potential. He is this person that had the power of we, the strength of we, he and God, the Holy Spirit. People were coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ like crazy in Samaria. And now he's been sent out to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. So I stopped last week by saying, ask the Holy Spirit, pray. But in English, talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to use you. Would you put your name in there where I put the italicize you? Put your name in there. Kelly, Vicky, Melissa, Ron. Ask the Holy Spirit to put Ron, to use Ron, to inspire others to make a positive life transformation. A PLT. Memorize the PLT and you'll remember positive life transformation through the grace of the Lord Jesus. Ron doesn't make people have a positive life transformation. It is in the strength of we that lives have been encouraged. People have found hope. People have been changed from being pessimistic to optimistic and from being discouraged to being encouraged. We just need to follow Philip, his example. Philip knew by experience that our Heavenly Father directs at times his kids through difficulties of all kinds. But he did not believe that is the only way that the Holy Spirit will lead us. Next, Philip, as we're going to see here in verse 26, he's going to be led of an angel, family. An angel. A messenger from heaven. And it's one of the Lord's angels. Jesus, who's standing at the right hand of God the Father in his throne room, he sends an angel to go down and talk to Philip. For crying out loud. You know, we have encountered, the scripture says, angels. We've entertained angels, but we are totally unaware of it. Amazing. Amazing. I wonder if when I get to heaven, I'm going to find out I was really mean to an angel. As we look here at verses 26 and 27. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, this divine being is speaking to Philip. Wow, wonderful is that? A regular human being is hearing from a supernatural being speaking directly into his life. Rise and go forward towards the south to the road that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. One of the other things to notice here that I've blown by any number of times having read through this passage, and that is, what's happening here? Philip is demonstrating obedience to Jesus. I've been over here in Samaria. You realize how far a walk that is? And now I'm back in Jerusalem, and I just got my feet washed. And now I've got to go down this dirty, dusty road to Gaza? Would you show that first? There, it's already up there. Okay, so here we are, and we got Jerusalem, okay? Now, he's been up here in Samaria. He's been wandering around up here. Now, maybe he had a donkey. I don't know. But I know for sure he's doing a lot of walking. Remember Galilee? And there's Nazareth. There's Cana. There's where that fantastic wedding took place. And the water was turned to wine. His first miracle. There's the Sea of Galilee. And then down here we've got the Dead Sea. But that's all rabbit trails right now. We're coming over back over here to, where'd he go? Well, here we go, Jerusalem. And he's going to come down this road. He's going to walk all the way down this road towards Gaza. And it's along the way here that he's going to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch. So in verse 27, and it tells us here, and Philip rose and went. That's showing obedience. That's demonstrating L-O-V-E in the agape sense to Jesus. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. She is the queen mother of the Ethiopian king. This is amazing. And the eunuch, he is a man of means, a man of great power in the court of Candace here. And Ethiopia is not the Ethiopia that you and I are aware of today. It's one of the things that we have to be careful of when we do study the scripture. Sometimes we think the geography that is being described here in the living, active Word of God is the same as the topography that we look at today. And it's not. So what's important for us to understand here is that modern-day Ethiopia is in a different place. If you'd show that next slide, please. Down here is Ethiopia. Up here is Israel. Now, here is Aswan, and it's this area all the way down to Khartoum in Sudan today that was the Ethiopia that the Bible is discussing. That is where the eunuch had come from. He come all the way up there to Israel, to the Temple Mount, to worship. And now he's on his way back. Long way, long way. He's on his way back to his homeland. And it says here, who was in charge of her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He had gone to the Temple Mount. He had been up there worshiping the one true God. And he's going to meet Philip on that road. And Philip's going to explain to him, there's still the one true God, but he manifests himself in three persons. He manifests himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is in the reading of the book of Isaiah that Philip is going to point out all the messianic prophecies concerning Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus. the Messiah who came out of Nazareth. All these things are going to become clear to the eunuch. One of the things I want to point out as we go along here is in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, speaking about the angels, it tells us this: are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So you may have already met an angel. You may yet meet an angel. And oftentimes, as I meet with those who gather to pray over all of you, and it'd be nice to have all of you in that prayer gathering, hint, hint, is that to ask our Heavenly Father to place His angels around the campus to keep the unholy angels off our campus, that they don't come in and bother us as we're here to do one thing, worship Him, hear from Him, glorify Him with our lives, to show Him how much we love Him, that kind of thing. Ministering angels. All of us are being touched by the ministry of angels, through, though we usually don't see them. The point is, Philip here, being in personal communication, first with an angel, now with God the Holy Spirit, was open to God the Holy Spirit's direction. An example for you and me. You and I can have the very same enjoyable, yes, I said enjoyable, loving relationship with the Holy Spirit as we continue to meet with Him. As you go by yourself to that place you've designated as your quiet spot, or just out there in the workaday world, it's just easier if you can focus in a quiet area on Him, to enjoy Him, to sit there with His Word in your lap, and to read it aloud and let Him speak to you. And that passage that oftentimes, for me anyway, it sticks out. It's almost like it's in red letters, but it's not. You know, it's just pops out. And that's something for me now to meditate on, to really think through. I'll look it over and over and over, just like that passage that I gave you in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. I mean, the whole chapter is full of things we need to put off and put on. It's wonderful to pray it through, to pray it through, to chew it up in your spiritual heart, so to speak, and to little by little memorize it as it's placed up here and in here. As those opportunities come by, those divine appointments, the Holy Spirit will take it and bring it forward, especially if you're asking Him, so that it can be employed, it can be used, it can be lived out in your life. And as it's being lived out in your life, you're going, wow, there's another mark that I've really been saved. I'm not one of those professing Christians. I am a possessing Christian, a real one, born again, born from on high. Would you show that photograph, please? Some of you will recognize John Ogilvy. You know, the guy's got titles this long before his name. He is doctor, pastor, chaplain of the United States Senate Emeritus, John Ogilvy. And he wrote this, and this is why I wanted to put his picture up there and let you know what he was saying after years and years of reading the Word of God. He said, quote, "The Lord of all creation has ordained that He would do His work through us." Do His work through us. He wants to use you to do His work in you and through you for His glory. Through us, our seeking the Spirit's guidance and obeying what He wants us to do and say is the way He works to bless the world. You are here, each one of you who are in Christ, to be a blessing, a true blessing to the people around you, the places He takes you. You're to be a blessing to your husband, to your wife. You're to be a blessing to your parents and to your kids. You're to be a blessing to your boss. You're to be a blessing to your employees. You're to be that blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in that power that God the Holy Spirit gives you, because you have GP, great potential. In the power of we, you and him, can accomplish all these things. There's amazing strength in who? Yeah, thank you. The two of you that are still awake. Good for you. Look at the fact that I've given you there. Our Heavenly Father's sovereign work plus our obedience. Oh, we don't like that word, do we? Just think of it when you were asking your kids to do it. They didn't like it either. But the point is, our Heavenly Father's sovereign work plus our obedience brings the touch of Jesus to needy human lives, because he wants to bring the blessing through you, whatever that might be, to show that heart of compassion, to show that humility can be born by a man, that a man can be meek, that a man or a woman can come alongside and help other people, even though they themselves don't have much. They come with what they have out of faith. Bring the touch of Jesus to needy human lives, including your own. Put another way, there are all kinds of divine meetings ready to take place in a life that is sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. I love it when I wasn't anticipating getting to share the gospel with somebody today. I didn't know I'd meet that person, but that was a divine appointment. God had already foreordained, planned it out, and now I get to enter into it and enjoy it. It's such a beautiful thing when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, having asked him earlier in the morning, maybe later in the day, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be under your control. I'd like to introduce you to this next guy, Major Ian Thomas, great evangelist, great man of the word. He's since gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, just like John Ogilvie has. But tremendous example, tremendous writer. And Ian, he was getting ready to get on an airplane. And as he was getting on that airplane and had sat down, he was pooped. He was really tired, man. He wanted, the one thing he wanted to do, as if you could, curl up. Maybe you could in those days, curl up in an airplane seat. Not today. You know, I can barely sit in my seat without sitting in the seat with the person next to me. But at any rate, he's sitting in a seat, and this is how the story goes. He hears, psst, psst. And looking in the direction of the second psst, he heard a man say, quote, "I am reading in the Bible about Nicodemus." An evangelist, he's sitting there, and the guy next to him is saying, "I'm reading in the Bible about Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and I do not understand it. Do you know anything about the Bible?" Does Ian Thomas know anything about the Bible? Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to introduce you to another guy, Pastor R. Kent Hughes. He's still alive. He's still going. He's got some good books that almost, I haven't read all of his books, but those that I have, I can recommend to you. Anyway, he was flying back from a hectic missions conference that he had been at here in California. And as the story goes, he was wanting very much on his way home to read C.S. Lewis's book, Letters to Malcolm. And I'd like to introduce you to C.S. Lewis if you've never seen him. This guy was an atheist. This guy wanted nothing to do with God. This guy was a graduate of Cambridge and Oxford, and he's a genius. He's since gone to be with the Lord. Did you catch that? He got saved. He got saved. This guy, he wrote this book, Letters to Malcolm, that Hughes wanted to be reading. But as Hughes shares the story here in this book I was reading, he says, "Lord," If you want me to share Christ with someone, I am willing. Do you ever pray that in the morning? Lord, I am willing to share the gospel with someone today. You ever ask him, would you set me up? Anyway, Lord, if you want me to share Christ with someone, I am willing. So he sat down, and the seat next to him was already occupied by a young man reading Isaac, A-S-I-M-O-V, novel. I've never read anything by this guy. How do you pronounce that? Asimov. Asimov? Asimov. I don't think I'd want to write anything if my last name was Asimov. But anyway, he was reading this guy's book, and he said, are you enjoying your book? And then Hugh said, I don't even remember the jet taking off or the meal being served, but I do know I had an opportunity to share Christ with a young man who lived about 5 blocks from where I used to live in California. Divine appointments. He says, I was so caught up in my divine appointment that I left my letters of Malcolm on the plane. Here's a fact. Divine appointments, family. Divine appointments await us if we are obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. We demonstrate our love for him. Just like Philip, you know, he was told to go to the Samaritans who hate Jews. He went. And God blessed him there, and people were blessed. He was told to go to the sea, seek out the Ethiopian. He did. And God blessed him, and God blessed the Ethiopian as well. He'll do the same thing for you, family. Divine appointments await us if we are obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. That was Philip's experience. And it can be ours. It can be ours. This is good news. This is good news we can use. So, helping others to communicate with the Holy Spirit is where we're going to go next time. But family, you see, God the Holy Spirit is in you. God the Holy Spirit wants to come forth and manifest his wonderful characteristics. Don't you want your spouse, your kids, your parents, your friends, your neighbors, the people you work with, the people you go to school with? Do you not want these people to receive the blessing that you are an incredible human being? The strength of we, you and God the Holy Spirit. The wonderful potential you have to be that wonderful blessing in so many ways. In the lives of other people, if we call forth the Holy Spirit who lives within us. He doesn't have to come from the other side of the universe. He's already over there, but also he's living in you. You just need to ask him to come forth. Because you want to do great things, not for you, but for him. Father, please, please, may this be a church family that you supernaturally use in the most marvelous, wonderful, loving ways in the lives of people who have yet to meet you and bring glory by the fact that they simply live out the life you've called them to, whether people come to faith or not, that they themselves, my church family, will know the blessing of having loved you with all of their heart, their soul, their mind, and strength, that they have been obedient to you, and that you've loved on them with a supernatural love that you'll never take away, and that you've promised to help them to do all these things that you've asked me to share with them that you have said in your word. Please, Father, may we be that church. May we be that church. In Jesus' name. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for wanting to do these marvelous things through divine appointments with us being involved. We are so very thankful that you saved our souls. We thank you that we have been adopted into your wonderful family. Now, Father, may we manifest Jesus one to another. May we be those people filled with God the Holy Spirit and manifesting the joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing for those attributes that are clearly yours, overwhelming the deeds of the flesh, the words of the flesh, the thinking of our flesh, Father, that we are genuinely people who have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, that others will be blessed, and that you, Father, will be the one that receives the glory. For we ask it in the name of your Son, who we have come this morning to worship and share our love with. Jesus, amen.